KPBS On Demand is supported by Marichal Design and Remodeling, helping homeowners with their home remodeling needs. From ADUs to kitchen remodels, room additions, and custom homes, Marichal Design and Remodeling can help homeowners design and build their dream homes. More at trustyourhometous.com.
Welcome in, San Diego. It's Jade Hindman. On today's show, local artist Hugo Crosthwaite finds his work in the White House's crosshairs. We'll tell you why. This is KPBS Midday Edition, connecting our communities through conversation. The White House recently published a list of artworks it deems objectionable or divisive in the Smithsonian. One of the works on the list was created by local cross-border artist Hugo Crosthwaite. He was commissioned by the Smithsonian National Portrait Gallery to create a portrait of Dr. Anthony Fauci, which was unveiled in 2022. KPBS arts reporter Julia Dixon Evans spoke with him about the portrait and what's at stake when governments control art.
Can you start at the beginning and tell us about this work and how you came to get this assignment?
The portrait came about because I won the first prize in the 2019 Edwin Buchheber Portrait Competition. And as part of that prize that's given by the Smithsonian, I had the opportunity to create a commission, an official portrait commission for the Smithsonian National Portrait Gallery. For the commission, the museum proposed that I should make a portrait of Dr. Anthony Fauci. And because, you know, the COVID-19 pandemic was happening at the time, I jumped at the chance to do this because it was a moment that, I wanted not just to do a portrait of a person, but also capture that moment in history of what was happening through the pandemic, you know, and do it as a stop motion drawing animation. So, I envisioned that the portrait itself would be a biography of Dr. Fauci's career, but him inside of history, you know, of that moment in history that we're living. So then it would be, you know, Fauci's career as director of the NIAID, the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. And mm-hmm. It would be him intermixed with social history and images of magnified viruses, no, this kind of thing. No? So then after meeting with Dr. Fauci, we came up with this narrative, no, that it would be a narrative that we developed together. And at the end, it became this 5-minute stop motion drawing animation composed of a suite of 19 drawings. So then the animation itself draws images from scientific illustration, from popular culture, from media images and art historical references that create a portrait of Dr. Fauci that speaks not only to the career of him as a scientist and public servant, and then also the management of two of the gravest health crises that happened to the United States, no, the HIV epidemic. The HIV/AIDS epidemic and the COVID-19 pandemic. No, so then the artwork moves through 4 decades of our recent history, shedding light on, you know, the social strife that was caused by these two health crises. It points to the politics of the era where, you know, the government and the health policies weren't, you know, seeing eye to eye. No, so then it kind of captures those two moments of history and they echo each other. No, the AIDS epidemic, right. What happened socially and historically and politically, and then also the COVID-19 pandemic.
So this work is stop motion. What to you is unique about a quote portrait created like a short film?
I'm not a very good portraitist. You know, I'm not a very good portrait artist. You know, I always feel like when I draw a person and I show them my drawing, they always complain that they don't look like that drawing. You know? So then I don't feel strong, you know, in that medium, you know, as a portrait artist. So then as a way of getting of working around that dilemma, I thought that the portrait could be this idea of a narrative, of a story, the idea of a story becoming the portrait, you know, one's actions, one's life, you know, how one, you know, that would be the portrait, and it describes this moment in history. And I remember when I spoke with Dr. Fauci, he also is a very humble man. So I remember when he knew that the National Portrait Gallery wanted to commission a portrait, he was kind of, you know, hesitant. Like, he was, I don't want a portrait, you know, a painting. But when I came with this idea, no, it's not going to be that. It's going to be this narrative. It's going to be this animation that tells a story through history and all this. Oh, he loved that idea, you know? He loved that idea because to him, he mentioned to me that it's me placing him in history and not just, you know, standing him out of history in a portrait that's basically just exalting a person. It's more of him inside this moment of history and what he had to live through, you know, these two, you know, through 50 years of career.
Mm-hmm. Like, is there some element of this that is a legacy, not just history and someone's place in history?
Yes, yes. And through film, through animation, you can put a lot of other dimensions into it, not just, you know, the likeness of the portrait of a person. Like, I love playing with comedic elements in it, and then it goes into, you know, some horror kind of things, you know. Like, at the beginning, the animation starts like if it was a public service announcement, you know, you know, kind of thing, you know. But then it, or a corporate video about, you know, creating vaccines, you know. But then it devolves into this story of human story, a very human story of how viruses and diseases attack a population and how, you know, all the, you know, the suffering that happens, and then also how the medical establishments, doctors, scientists, fight this through science and through the coming up of vaccines and cures. No? So it plays with those, with this very human narrative, no, of how a disease can affect a population, and then how we respond to it with fear. We respond with it with conspiracy theories, or we also respond with it with you know, with valor and strength, you know, from the, you know, from the first responders, you know, and the nursing and doctors communities, you know, who risk their lives to, you know, to save us, you know? So all that is being placed in these narratives, you know? and it's easier to do through a film instead of a portrait that's just very static. No, this is a moving image, moving story with music and sound, and all of that comprises the narrative. No.
And what did it mean to you to have your work in the Smithsonian National Portrait Gallery?
To me, it was a great honor. A great honor because it was actually being part of American history, you know, being, because that's what that museum is, you know. The National Portrait Gallery is a museum that has the portraits of all the, you know, the major characters, heroes, you know, persons from history, you know, from George Washington to Benjamin Franklin to all the presidents and all the incredible people that are American history. And I was able to have one of my pieces be part of that telling of an American history. So to me, it was a great honor to be on the record. No, this is, you know, I'm part of American history now through my portrait of Dr. Fauci.
How did you hear that your work had been listed by the White House as objectionable?
I got a phone call from my gallery, No Luis de Jesús. No, he says, you know, they saw it, you know, that they saw this, you know, website that had this, the portrait of Hector Fauci. Then that's how I found out. But I, you know, and then when I actually went to the website and I saw the list, you know, I was, well, you know, it's, I felt kind of pride, you know, that I was in the list of wonderful art projects, you know. So then, you know, it's always good when you see you're among, you know, peers that you respect. So then I saw it as a badge of honor, you know, to be in this list of artworks and art pieces from artists that I admire, you know. So then, yeah, at first I was like, well, yeah, this is not bad, you know, to be included in this list.
And what about as you let it settle and you thought about, like, the broader implications? Like, where did you go next in your mind?
Well, what I immediately thought is that, of course, like everything with this administration, they're trying to install fear on the public, no? And I'm not going to give in to that. You know, like, I'm not going to give in to the fear that they're trying to inspire, no? So I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep doing what I need to do. You know, art is not a profession. It's a vocation, no? So that I feel very strongly about what I paint, what I draw, what the subject matters that I deal with, and I'm going to continue to that despite any list or any review. No?
Why do you think that your piece in particular was called out?
Well, it was funny to me because when I saw the list, it didn't really describe the piece. It just mentioned, oh, there was this commission about this portrait of Dr. Fauci's career. So I got the feeling that even the Trump administration hasn't even seen the portrait because they didn't mention any of the other things that could be considered controversial inside the film itself, no? Where I show imagery of protests and things, no? So then, but it seemed to me like they just saw, oh, this is about Fauci, then we hate it. You know, I think they targeted the piece precisely because it's just a portrait of Dr. Fauci. You know, it is, and it's you know, to me, he's one of the most, Dr. Fauci, being a public servant who has diligently, heroically served his nation for more than 50 years, no? He's regarded with the highest esteem in the scientific community, but then also he's been vilified by the MAGA movement and, you know, conspiracy theories. So then I think that Dr. Fauci just became the symbol, more than a man, it became this focus of conspiracy theories, and he kind of represents the nation's current political divide, no? So I think that would be the reason that they think Fauci is a danger, no? Because he just represents this, no? He represents truth, he represents science, no? And then another thing that came to mind to me, which I don't really think that was the reason that it was listed, but, you know, I'm a Mexican-American artist, you know? So then, you know, someone who's cognizant of you know, the impact that AIDS and the COVID-19 pandemic has had on my ethnic community, you know, like at this moment, the critical social and health programs are being defunded by the Trump administration. No? So, and that's something that the White House is trying to gloss over, how their policies are affecting the most vulnerable people, you know, in the United States.
Have you ever had your work or an arts institution that you've worked with subject to control of the contents or messages by a government?
No. This is the first time that that my work has ever been, in a way, put in a list or you know, for reviewed in a way. You know? No, it's I've had the fortune, you know, that whatever I do has always been accepted by institutions and shown and celebrated and presented. You know? And I always feel, for me, like just as an artist, I feel that that's one of the virtues of art, you know? The eloquence and the beauty of drawing and painting. You can handle any subject matter. It doesn't matter how controversial it can be, but if it's done in an eloquent way, people are open to it because they come to a beautiful drawing, they come to a beautiful story, and they see it and they're able to accept it. They might not disagree, they might not agree with the subject matter, but they come to see a beautiful drawing and a beautiful painting. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the virtues of art itself. You know, we're not journalists. We're not there to tell the truth and give hard facts. You know, like Picasso said, I think I'm misquoting him, but he said something in reference to how art is the big lie in the service of truth. You know, this mm-hmm. very idea that, yes, it's a very subjective way of presenting the truth, but then that's the virtue of art, that we can lie, you know, and we can exaggerate things and we can present things to a public in a beautiful way. You know, that's what art is, you know, in a beautiful, eloquent way. So then in that respect, you know, people like my drawing and I feel they respond well to my drawing and to my skill and to the beauty of the work. So, yeah, so then I've had no trouble with my work before.
Hmm. And would you say that the control of the content by a government is what is happening with the Smithsonian?
Well, I feel like these are all distractions. You know, like these are all creating these controversies and from this administration because there's actually real problems that need to be dealt with, you know, and they're trying to steer public attention away from, you know, from some real issues. So then they're drumming up these fake controversies or these, you know, these dilemmas, you know, this culture war. They're trying to emphasize more of this idea of a culture war that's happening. So I feel that they're very mediocre attempts, no, to do this, no? Because like I mentioned earlier, I don't think there was a real examination of the artwork. They're not really debating the pieces, why this should be here or not. They're just, you know, generalizing and in a very mediocre way presenting this dilemma, no, that they have with the work. So I feel it's just more of a distraction. And also install fear in people, install fear in institutions. And I feel it's very important for institutions not to capitulate, not to, you know, law firms have been capitulating to, you know, to the administration. Institutions should not, no? You know, our museums should stay strong and show the work that needs to be shown.
What do you think is at risk when governments attempt to control museums or artists or even art itself?
Well, what's at risk is, like I mentioned earlier, this idea of trying to rewrite history, trying to you know, have the people forget the problems, the ills, the what needs to be solved. No, I think that's their intent. You know, and then that's the danger that it can happen, that, you know, people actually do forget. You know, if these institutions don't tell our story, don't educate us to what's happened and be objective in our history and all this, people will forget and we will repeat the mistakes of the past. But then also I feel like there's also the silver lining, I think, that is when, for example, this list came about, it drew more attention to the work. Like I've been getting into, you know, I've been asked for interviews from different, you know, I'm getting attention from the work because of this controversy that happened. So in a way, I think it's kind of counterproductive for them. No, I think it's backfiring, you know, to them, this idea that they try to censor work, and it's by doing that, it just is drawing more attention to it, and it's drawing more attention to the subject matter and to the issues and the truths that need to be out there.
What is lost when artists no longer critique the structures of power?
I think, like I mentioned earlier, no, art is a vocation, and we say what we need to say, and we say it the best way we can. No, the problem with when this happens is that, like I mentioned earlier, they try to install fear on people and fear on artists. So then we sometimes even start censoring ourselves, and I think that's the danger. No, that will definitely harm the art, you know, that we're creating. You know? So we need to be strong. We need to you know, believe in who we are. We're artists and we have this vocation. And then, of course, everything, no, nothing is forever. No ill lasts 1,000 years. No, this time will pass. This moment will pass. And those people who stayed true to their vocation and stayed true to the truth, you know, they will be celebrated. They will be, you know, the truth will win in the end, I feel. That always happens, no? So then just believe in your work and continue to work and be aware, you know, that they're trying to install fear in you, no? And fight that, no? And you can continue to do your work, not the best you can.
That was cross-border artist Hugo Crossthwaite speaking with KPBS arts reporter and host of The Finest, Julia Dixon Evans. We reached out to the White House for comment and did not hear back by our deadline. Details and a sample of the Fauci portrait video are on our website at kpbs.org. That's our show for today. I'm your host, Jade Hindman. Thanks for tuning in to Midday Edition. Be sure to have a great day on purpose, everyone.
Hello, this is Dr. Michael Lalage, Medical Director and Chief of Staff for Kaiser Permanente San Diego. For more than 50 years, San Diegans have entrusted their healthcare to us. Our care and coverage connect to provide medical care tailored to each member. With our integrated network of primary and specialty care, we work together using evidence-based medicine to help deliver positive results. We believe in a healthy and engaged life with good beginnings and dignified endings. We believe that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness requires total health, including equal access to high-quality, affordable health care. At Kaiser Permanente, our cause is health. Our passion is service. We work to help make lives better. To learn more, visit kp.org/San Diego.